This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. We're joined now by the head coach for the Kansas Jayhawks, Bill Self. And Bill, this draft, you could have guys go 1 and 2 overall. The Cavaliers, of course, picking number one in that draft. Let's start with the center, Joel Embiid. When you look at Joel Embiid, what are his strengths? What are his weaknesses as he enters this draft and waits to see if he's the first overall pick?
Well, I think that, you know, his weaknesses, you know, are that, like most kids, and he's just a kid, he's got to get stronger, and he's got to learn the game better. But considering the guy's only played ball for 3 years, I mean, he's never touched a basketball until he was a junior in high school, and to see the progress that he's made and his IQ, there's a lot of things he does well. He's a tremendous athlete. He's got unbelievable feet. He's ridiculously bright. Has great feel for the game. And then you know, he's, you know, 6'11 and a half or 7 foot tall, and can block and alter and run and pass and shoot. He's a very, very unique guy in that to be that long and that big and possess the skill set of a guard.
From what you know about his back, Bill, because that's the big thing, he reportedly is in Cleveland today meeting with the Cavaliers, and everything I'm hearing is if everything checks out with his back, he's going to be the number one pick. What can you tell us at this point about how serious the injury was and what you know about it today?
It wasn't serious at all. It was a stress fracture in his back. One in which that it doesn't require any type of surgery. All it requires is just rehab and a little bit of time. And he could have kept on playing, you know, if he could handle the symptoms. It's just that he was tightness and soreness was because of swelling was too prevalent for him to play immediately afterwards. But if we'd have gone another week, he would have played. We're confident of that. But I think he'll check out to be 100%. I don't think there's anybody that'll be scared off by that at all.
Bill, I went back and compared Embiid's freshman numbers to two guys he gets compared to a lot, and that's Hakeem Olajuwon and Tim Duncan. And when you compare all three of their freshman years, Embiid's numbers are as good as, or better in some areas, as a freshman. So is it fair to compare him to Olajuwon and Duncan? Do you think he can get to that level?
I don't know about Tim. Not saying that Hakeem's not as good. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying from a physical standpoint, he reminds me of Hakeem. He never has reminded me of Tim, even though I've heard people say that. But he reminds me of Hakeem. I guess Tim, with his footwork, there could be some similarities. But I mean, just the way he moves and how fluid and Shaq or whoever gave Tim the nickname Big Fundamental. Where Joe is, I mean, he's sound, but he'll have 15 different ways to get to one move, where a lot of guys, have one way to get to a move. So I would say he reminds me much more of Hakeem, and that's a tough one for anybody to really buy into. But at the same stage, people that knew them both and seen them both said that, you know, maybe not quite as good a runner, but or physically imposing, but people think that Joe may be well ahead of him at the same stage offensively than Hakeem. And of course we know what happened after his freshman year in college and how he took off, and it still remains to be seen what Joe will do, but there are some similarities.
We're talking with Kansas head coach Bill Self. Bill, what's the most impressive thing about Joel Embiid?
I would say his to me it's his feel. He feels the game. Things that it takes time to teach and guys to really become good at, he gets it. He seems to get it quicker than other guys. He does. I mean, how to play out of double teams, how to, you know, you show him something and he can get it right the first time. He's a guy that I'm serious. Basketball IQ is off the charts. I had Darren Williams, D. Brown, Brady Morningstar, Aaron Miles, the Twins. Those to me, from a pure basketball feel standpoint, is about the best we've had. And Joe would be right there in that category.
All right, let's move on to Andrew Wiggins, who also could go number one. He came in with so much fanfare and hype. Did he live up to it, and how did he handle all of that?
Stud. He's a 10. You know, he was probably, you know, I hear LeBron, you know, in some of his post-game, you know, talking about how games scrutinized and, you know, he's been living with this for since he's 15, and which is very true. But you stop and think about Andrew. Has there been a more talked about or more a picked apart player in college basketball in recent memory? And the kid should have been a high school senior this year. I mean, his highs weren't too high. His lows weren't too low. He's extremely mature off the court. He gets it. I think that he had an unbelievable freshman year. You know, averages, you know, he's all-time leading scorer at Kansas as a freshman by a large margin, and people always wanted more. And I mean, I wanted more too, but guys, did he perform for the most part and under the most pressures probably as any college freshman has seen in recent memory, just because of the hype they went around him. It wasn't fair, but he didn't ask for it, but it was there. And I think that right there in itself will allow him to be a great player for a franchise because he can handle the heat because he's already had to do it.
Yeah, the knock on him, fair or unfair, Bill, was that he was too passive, didn't have that killer instinct, disappeared at times. Is that a fair criticism of him or no?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's a fair criticism. But if you were going to go back and look at the number one or number two or number three picks in all the drafts, are there not, you know, this is a weird deal, but, you know, Jordan was a junior when he was taken number three in the draft, and I don't know if he averaged just more points than Andrew did as a freshman for us. And you stop and when you stop and think about it in those type of ways, you know, it's pretty impressive what he's done. You know, he's good enough to get 41 in a big game, get 18 rebounds in a big game, get 6 block shots in a big game. You know, he's good enough to do those things, but he does leave you wanting more because he's so gifted athletically. But he's growing into it. He's a mature kid off the court, and his maturity is just catching up on the court, and he's understanding the game and how to play. But I mean, he's going to be a stud. He's a guy that I admit that I think, you know, he got 20 and you think he could have got 27. He got 9 rebounds and he should have got 12. You know, he has been one of those guys, but his competitive juice and all that stuff has just improved so much. And he's been in attack mode the longer the season went on, and the NBA game translates to him very well because of the open court and the openness of the game on offense. He's going to be a terrific pro.
Have you ever coached a better athlete than Andrew? The one thing that stood out to me as I watched numerous games, and I was, you know, I followed you guys for a while. I was at the Final Four when you guys beat our Buckeyes down there in New Orleans and all that. I love Ben McLemore, and he was athletic. But is there a better athlete, and does anybody jump quicker on the first and second jump than Andrew Wiggins?
No, we've had some pretty good athletes, but nobody's more athletic than Andrew. Nobody's. You know, his first jump is impressive, and if people have watched, you know, like those that Instagram pic that was hit out or whatever, you know, just so impressive, and you know, 44-inch vertical standing jump, so impressive. But his second jump's more impressive than his first, and his first step is what separates him from most athletically. So he's a gifted guy athletically that when his skill set improves a little bit to really set up his athleticism more, he's going to be a much more effective player. He can shoot it, but he's not pure. But let him become a 40-point, 3-point shooter in the NBA, which he will eventually. Now you're looking at a guy that you got to guard, you know, tight, and then his first step, he can go around just about anybody.
The Cavaliers don't have a coach yet, Bill. So how about some advice for whoever gets this job? How to coach either one of these guys? What's the best way? Because each player is different. You know this over the years. You have to handle kids differently because of their personality, their mentality, and all that. Give whoever the next coach is at the Cavaliers an idea. What's the best way to coach Andrew? What's the best way to coach Joel?
I would say get in their butt. Don't let them settle. Don't let them ever settle. Because both kids want to be good. I mean, they both want to be good. And they want to be pushed, and they enjoy that. And I would say make examples out of them to the rest of the team, because these kids will be willing to do whatever any coach puts in front of them. They are pleasers, and they want to be pushed, and I would not back off on working their butt off.
last thing before I let you go, and we appreciate the time talking with Kansas head coach Bill Self. Cavaliers have the number one pick. They can only take one or the other, Bill. Who would you take number one overall out of these two?
Well, you know, that's been asking me a lot, and of course I won't say, you know, that, but the whole thing is I think it varies day to day with me. I think you can't go wrong with either one of them. I think one is so exciting because he's freakish athletic. He can make plays he can't coach. And you know, if he just continues to get better and his skill set improves itself, his athletic ability, you're looking at a multiple-time All-Star. And the other one's only played ball for 3 years, and his feel is remarkable, and there's not that many seven-footers around skilled like that. And if he can continue to progress, you know, the sky's the limit for him as well. So it's kind of, it's, you know, I really think David Griffin and the brass up there, even though they it's a fabulous place to be number one, I don't think it's an easy place to be, because I do think this is a year where there's certainly not a clear cut. But you have three guys that are deserving of being the one pick most years.
All right, I lied. Last thing, do both of these kids have the potential to be franchise-type players, organization changers, in your opinion?
Well, I would tell you this. Both kids will be, you know, I said eight-time. That's kind of, that may be pie in the sky, but hey, six to ten-time All-Stars.
Wow.
And if you have that, then I think it would be a situation where they would be considered franchise-type players. But I will say this, you got to have more than one, as you know. And you look at the teams out there now, you know, you have two or three, you know, Hall of Famers on, you have three Hall of Famers on both teams right now, maybe four with the Heat. So you got to have multiple franchise type players, but both these kids fit that category.
Bill, we appreciate the time, know how busy you are. Thanks for making it for us. And I know you'll be watching on June 26th to see which one goes one and if the other goes two, and it'll be great, the Jayhawks.
It'll be great no matter what. Hey, I appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed that Roto Report with Kansas head coach Bill Self. It was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.